You're listening to From the Bullet to the Bible with Philip Hall and Tim Lowry. Join us today as we take you on a journey through the life and testimony of ex-mobster Philip Hall. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-5700. That's 936-337-5700. Our hope is that through this program, you'll see that God wants to be a real part of your life, and that no matter who you are or what you've done, Jesus still loves you. Now, here's your host, Tim Lowry.
Woohoo!
Yeah!
Another wonderful day. Another wonderful episode of From the Bullet to the Bible with Philip Hall in studio. Philip, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm still hot. Hot, but it's okay.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing nowadays that we're in this heat.
Man, I'm still got to pay the rent, you know, like everybody else out there, guys. So I'm in there with you. I've been shoveling concrete, been mixing concrete, been doing setting up sidewalks, patios, and trying to stay hydrated. And in between,
well, you're looking a lot better this week than last week. You were so pale; you had no color.
And I'm not a guy who gets pale. I should get darker. You know, I got a little bit of tint to me. But no, that was a tough day. And after I left the studio, I was glad the good Lord let us speak. You know, it was still an emotional. I went home and I was done. I was out. I've never had heat stroke before or knew what that was, but I was talking to a nurse that I ran into, and she said, "No, you got sun poison."
Yeah, that's even worse.
Dry heaving, had fever, the shakes, the shower wouldn't cool me down. So guys, be careful. Everybody out there, you're working this heat is not a joke. The Lord wants us to take care of ourselves, but we got to do our part. And
And an important thing, you know, even if it's not you, your kids, you know, because when you got your kids out there, they can overheat a lot faster and they don't even realize it. And I know that happened to me when I was younger, and my dad was out on the golf course and I was his caddy. And by the like 13th or 14th hole, I had gotten sun poisoning and I was just, I couldn't go. And he was like, you know, "Why are you dragging your feet? You're so slow." and then he's like, we'll cool off in the pool. And we got in the pool and I was shaking so bad and I was dry heaving, and he realized, oh my goodness, you know,
my kid's gonna die.
He's like, sun poison. You go, well, and that's what the doctor said. They said he had sun poisoning.
I've never even heard that term.
Well, the interesting thing too about sun poisoning, you can actually start getting these red dots all over you.
Got them on my chest and my shoulders and armpits.
You get these red dots. And I remember as a kid, they don't do this anymore, but they used to have peppermint flavored medicine.
Really?
And so I used to love that.
You could lick your dots.
Yeah. So I basically was like, you know, I got this peppermint medicine that I got to do, and then the dots went away. But yeah, just make sure you keep your kids hydrated. I remember the first time we came to Texas, and I think we were in Dallas at the time, and I had never experienced this kind of heat. And our girls, they were literally like, faces were bright red. They were like cherry red. They were sweating. We're like, we got to get you guys indoors. And they said, you got summer, August heat here in Texas. You gotta stay hydrated.
Oh, yeah. Your pets, keep your pets hydrated, keep them in. I mean, think of everything that you can. And this really, really makes me not want to go to hell.
Yes.
Because if hell's really hot.
This is nothing compared to that.
I hear people say hotter than hell. I don't think so. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, no. This is
a good reminder.
It's good. Like you said, this is not even close to what the pain and suffering is going to be there. And if this is just a little taste, like, no, thank you.
No, not eternally.
No. Oh, isn't it great that we have the ability to be restored to our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus?
Amen, brother. Amen. And I give a shout out to all you guys incarcerated, man. I know what it's like to be in locked up. Sheriffs, man, come on. Take it easy on some of these guys. I've been inside where they turn the AC off. I've been inside where they play mental games with people. And remember that you're still followers of Christ, and their sins are being punished for their wrongs. So just prayers, you know. I don't know why that just hit me, but prayers to my brothers and incarcerated brothers and sisters. Man, I had a blessed weekend.
Yeah, busy. You were out and about. You were in Dallas and then Austin and on the speaking engagements.
I was in Dallas, Texas, with Michael Franzese. Man, he's a longtime friend of mine, and those of you who know my testimony, man, he's a captain in the Colombo family. Was a captain in the Colombo family, and he was the first man to come. One of the first people who came to see me when I got out of being incarcerated, and we really talked about the decision I had made to follow Christ, and coming from that life, how not that it just meant that I'm gonna follow Christ, but there's a program to following that. There's a whole change of life, and if I didn't, just a little tap on the shoulder that the bad guys will be waiting here to see if you for real or not.
Right.
You know, nobody knew. They all thought, well, Phil's, little Anthony's just doing this because he's trying to stay out of trouble and look good in public eye. He'll fall.
Right, right. He'll be back.
Even had a Fed, an FBI agent tell me. I shared that conversation. She had told me, and she goes, "You do not know how to live a normal life. You will fall, and I will be there to get you." And I remember those words every time I think of something. I'm like,
right.
I'm not going to give that to you, man. I serve a great and faithful God. So we spent some time in Dallas, and it was great. I have to share with you some of the things that are about to happen.
But you know what I love about Michael is that not only was he one of the first people that talked to you after you got out of prison and saw you, but he was one of those guys that said, "I'm going to keep you accountable." And
he calls me out, man.
And has done that ever since and continues to sharpen you. Iron sharpens iron. And I think that that's one of the important things, especially for you guys that getting out of prison, not to fall back into those old ruts or let that old lifestyle come back, to find those mentors, to find those people that will keep you accountable. Because, you know, there are moments, especially wherever you are, you could be in prison, you could be like 10 minutes out of prison. Whenever God gets a hold of your heart and you surrender and you give your life to Him, there's always going to be that temptation to go back.
Oh, the devil shows up, man.
Yeah, that's when you're on his hit list, you know?
Yes.
And so the important thing is to really find those mentors. And there's great places like House of Hope that you can go and get fed and get those mentors. And it's all free. And that's in the Madisonville area. There's places like Celebrate Recovery. There's places that you can go.
There's churches. There's a church almost on every corner in any neighborhood. Ask God to bring someone into your life. If you don't have someone sincere and someone strong, who's strong in their faith and their fervor for the Lord, and who understands what it is to say, you know, you just got out of prison. Let me pray for you. Let me be here for you, and be there.
Right, and actually do it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that, and they mean good. You know, they say things, and unfortunately, we find a lot of them in the church. And, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Yeah, as a matter of fact, here's my list. Let me get back to you on that. I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
And then there are the ones that say, yeah, brother, what do you need? If I can, I will. If I can't, let's find somebody.
Yeah.
And then they call you the next day and say, hey, Philip, are you reading your scripture today? No, but I was going to. Good, I'm on the phone. Let me read it with you. What are you going to read?
Right. So. Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, I love getting calls. Like I got a call the other day he said, "Hey Tim, I was just thinking about you and this verse," and it was Psalms 100. And he started reading, awesome. Reading it, and I just love the fact that there's times where God will place somebody on your heart, and you can just pray for them, call them, and say, "Hey, you know what? I was thinking about you. God put this on my heart." And those are so encouraging. You never know what that other person is going through. You know, you could be having a really great day, but that person may be having a really bad day. And yet that one little call will change their life. My daughter and I were going, I don't know where, we were coming back from the station the other night, and I was driving in the the Joy FM car, our logo, to we call it the Joy Ride now.
I've seen you around. I don't miss you when I drive through the city. I see you around a lot.
Yes, everybody's starting to see it. They're honking,
saw you
yesterday
at Burger King.
And now you'll see my great eating habits, because I'm going through the drive-thrus of like Taco Bell and everywhere. But as we were driving, I saw this lady with a hood up on her van. And I passed by because I was in a hurry. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you should go back and check on her. And it was dark. And I was like, you know, I got my daughter in the car. I was like, you know what? Okay. I turn around and my daughter says, you're going to go see her, aren't you? And I was like, okay, that's just confirmation, because like telling my daughter, she knew too.
Yeah.
So we pulled her over, and I just stopped because I didn't know how I would be able to help her or if I could or anything. And I rolled down the window. I said, hey, are you okay? And she just closed the hood and, you know, got in her car. And then she couldn't roll down her window on her passenger side, so she had to get out. She came around, and so she could hear me. And I was like, are you okay? Is there anything you need? She's like, oh, I'm fine. Thank you. She says, but you know what? I just want to thank you, because you were the only person that stopped and said and asked if I was okay. And you could tell she was frustrated, but she was able to fix it herself. But that moment, it was like she just needed to know that, you know what, she was loved, that somebody was thinking about her. And instead,
you don't know
of her,
what situation she right, just came from,
and we don't know where she was going. But that one moment said she's not alone.
Yeah,
you know. And if I hadn't have, she would have gotten in that car and said, Maybe she would have had suicidal thoughts. I don't know. Saying nobody cares for me.
You don't know.
Not one person showed up in my help. I'm not loved. All the things that Satan would just start bombarding her with. But she got to go away going, there is somebody that cares.
And that goes back to what we were just talking about. As Christians, that's our job. You know, we've got to check in on people, check in on each other, be accountable, be wise in the situations, but know that you're hearing from God, and the Lord's not going to lead you wrong. I've had many conversations with theologians, I think we call them,
yes,
and many battles, and but I know who my Lord is, and I know one thing about God, and I'm learning this word called faithful. He is faithful, and what that really, really means.
Yeah,
He is the same God of 10,000 years ago, today, and 10,000 tomorrows. And I've been blessed. Got to give a shout out to Sergeant, I think I can call him Sergeant, Gene Barnett in Montgomery County. All of these guys that I'm meeting now, I was in Denton at the prosecutor's office. I stayed at a prosecutor's home with his wife.
Right.
Shared some amazing testimony, man. There were tears flowing. It was great. And then I was in Austin with our good friend, Joe Serio.
Yes.
And polishing some things up about the next area that I'm going to venture in. And I can't really say what it is, but I can say that
it's going to be powerful.
I'm getting the opportunity to pray and share testimony and really get involved with law enforcement. And that's the other side of the fence for me. And Sergeant Gene, God, I think he's approaching 70. If he looks like he's 50. He's been for many, many, many years. He knows everybody that's probably in Texas. And we hit it off really great. I hope he's listening out there. He was talking to me before we came on the show, and he sent me some books and some MP3 stuff to really help me with understanding some more scripture. I mean, it was like when I just got out of jail. Awesome. And I'm listening to one all day long. I've been preached to. And, man, they're powerful, powerful. And they're really impacting my life. And to have that man who we just met on a handshake, I think you were there when we were down at Joe's.
Yes, yes.
And he came to lunch with us that day.
Okay, that's Gene. Okay,
oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah, Gene. Yeah. He
is
really
an awesome guy.
Oh, man, we are iron. Talk about iron sharpening iron. Almost every day he's been sending me a text or saying, have you read this? Did you read this? I mean, no talking about crimes and police talk or right. nothing. No. It's all been scripture. Mm. And
it's beautiful.
Powerful, powerful. I think we're headed in a great direction, and I look forward to be talking and working with him soon, very, very, very soon. So,
well, I'm grateful that that I got a chance to meet him, because he is just an amazing guy, you know. And the fact that he's doing he volunteers, he does all these other things, and he's doing it for his community. But man, he is so smart. He is so intelligent. The way that he talks about not just God, but just even his job and the way that
his daily function.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, hey, we're going to get into Philip's book after this break, and we are just excited that you are along with us today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to From the Bullet to the Bible. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-5700. That's 936-337-5700.
Come and get it. Davy Crockett's Grill is now serving breakfast. Come sink your teeth into a mouth-watering chicken fried steak, two eggs, hash browns, and toast for only $7.75. Or if you're hankering for hotcakes, get two pancakes, two eggs, and your choice of bacon, ham, or sausage for only $6.75. Want some biscuits and gravy? Well, we got that too. Davy Crockett's Grill is located on the corner of Loop 304 and Highway 7 in the city of Crockett. With our new breakfast menu served Wednesday through Saturday from 7 a.m. till 10:30 a.m. Be sure to like us on Facebook to get our latest updates and more amazing deals. Order ahead by calling 936-243-6005. That's 936-243-6005. Davy Crockett's Grill. Comfort you can taste.
Feel the joy. 104.3 Joy FM.
You're listening to From the Bullet to the Bible. Now, here's your host, Tim Lowry.
Well, welcome back. We are excited that you are joining us on From the Bullet to the Bible. If you got questions, you can text us at 936-337-5700. It's 936-337-5700. Or you can write From the Bullet to the Bible, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas 75835. And be sure to send your questions or your comments to that address, and we would love to respond to them. And also, if you haven't had a chance to get Philip's book yet and read along with us, you can go to 1043joyfm.com/bullet, scroll down and click on the link to the book, and you'll be able to purchase it there. And if you buy it there, Philip will be able to give you a signed autographed copy. But you can also get it anywhere that books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you can find it. You can grab your copy and read along with us as we get further along into this book. So, Philip, we're still in the chapter Steroids, Ecstasy, and Cocaine. It's a pretty long chapter, pretty graphic chapter. I mean, the first part was pretty intense. The second part that we went through, again, it was intense. And so we're going to be getting into that in just a few minutes. So can you kind of set us up a little bit of how old were you and during this time?
I'm in my, gee whiz, you had to ask me that question.
It would probably be like your mid-20s.
It was pops. It was in my life.
Because you were married. You were married at the time.
Yes.
To the...
That was earlier.
Because this chapter kind of starts spanning things, right?
Yeah, I threw in some of these collections. There were things that are not in here. So I kind of chose the ones that were kind of nice. I think I'm in my, it's in the late 90s
okay.
that I'm in this area. And gosh darn it, you got me messed up on years now. I'm going to be 51 this next Monday. So the 90s would make that.
I'm just going to give you that.
Hey guys, it's going to be my birthday, June 21st. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. gifts can come to P.O. Box 387, yes. Crockett, Texas, 75835.
It's nice to receive gifts.
It is. Gifts are nice.
So I'm in my late 20s. My life in the mob was short-lived. And most of these guys' lives are. I mean, to make a 10-year run, you're pretty lucky. Most guys get into drugs or something takes them. The lusts of the world, and the devil has a lot of tools. And your souls, in gang life, street life, I mean, you don't live too long. The OGs that have done it, I mean, no offense, guys, but they weren't as ruthless. They weren't as... and not that you should be, and if you have lived through those tragedies and you've lived through the streets and you're out and you know right from wrong and you know it in your heart, then you're going to be a very powerful person for the Lord to testify to that and turn people away from that life so they don't have to go down those avenues. But I'm about midway probably through my time in the mob, and I'm doing collections. I'm earning a good name. I'm doing the devil's work, man. I'm doing other things.
Now, you had just come back from Mexico. You had done this scope out where you were trying to start distributing steroids.
I'm bringing in steroids and cocaine.
Okay.
And I'm taking guns out of the country and distributing them in trade in Mexico. I did that throughout my career. I had it set up. I've landed it. I've made the connections. Boom, we're hooked up.
Well, I remember the opening, one of the opening chapters when you were on that bluff overlooking the border, mm-hmm. and meeting those guys as they came up.
That was right outside of Juarez.
Yeah.
Up outside of Smeltertown, Texas. Little rolling hills and deserty kind of stuff out there. So from there... that happens later, actually after these collections.
Right.
But that was how we kicked the book off. In my collections, I met various people, and I always assumed that because they were doing bad things, that if I, you know, punished them, and that I was doing a good thing by punishing them.
Right.
But it was all bad at the end of the day. This particular collection we were on, her husband was the bad guy.
Right. And so she's basically found out that, he's been cheating on her. He's been, you know,
spending their money, their retirement.
Yeah. And now he not only did he spend it, but now he owes even more money.
Yes. And that was the thing. That's the thing about loan sharking. When you come to guys that are organized and guys that have, yeah, I'll give you a loan. There's a lot of guys that own bars that give side loans on that at like 25-26% interest. And they set it up so that you're not going to be able to pay them back. And if you can pay them back, they're going to give you such a discount to start off with to get you caught on the next thing so you can borrow more money, and then you're going to be caught back up,
right,
and not in a position to pay them back,
right?
I'm going to be blessed with the opportunity to go speak to high school students, and especially young people going into the athletics in college, to really sit and talk with them on that level and say, hey guys, you are going to be approached,
yeah,
so let's put on your armor.
Yeah, because if you do not know what you're going into and what you're going to get on the battlefield, you're not prepared. But if you can go in and know, okay, this is going to happen at some point, and this is how I should address it, this is how God would want me to address it, and know that you're not alone. And I think that's pretty, pretty amazing.
We got a great text in. Man, I love when texts start coming in. Hopefully we'll be hearing from Miss Sandy out in Rhode Island and my buddy Bruce up in Canada. Woo! We've been having some talks, me and Bruce, lately. But you know, I'm gonna keep fighting for you, brother. You're gonna come to know Jesus by the time we're done. I think he knows. He's just waiting to take that leap.
Yep. So Sergeant Gene, he texted and he said, "Seems a great platform for presentation of the everlasting grace of God. beginning with our so great salvation, then to our mandate for our God in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather rightly dividing the word of truth. That's so amazing.
Ooh, and that sounds like somebody who knows what he's talking about.
Yes, so that we can be approved unto God. And that we shouldn't, that we wouldn't be ashamed.
I love this man's fervor for the Lord, man, especially in the position that he holds. I mean, yeah. he's in a high speed chase every night. He sees some action.
Yeah.
And he's got some powerful, powerful stories. And I bet carrying the armor of God with him, loading up, praying before he goes out, he's really changed some lives.
Yes. There's a time where you show force and you can also show mercy, but it's a seasoned veteran that knows when the appropriate and safe Amen. Time to do that and when it is required to show force. And that's I think that's where the veteran comes in.
I mean, I can only imagine waking up to start my day or just before I go to work and I'm loading, checking my guns, checking my bullets, making sure I'm set, you know, my vest, everything that protects me, and then praying and stepping out into that world, knowing that any minute, I mean, something, the devil's going to show up, and that you pray over that and that you go through it, and then to get home, take a deep breath, hang your keys up and say, we made it.
Yep.
That's a heck of a life, man.
And then at that moment, redress yourself with the battle, the night yes. battle armor, and because it's always when you let your guard down, that's when he steps in. When you think, okay, I just did this victory. And that's the thing that God keeps reminding me. It's like the battle's not over. This was a moment. There's a victory here, but the war is not over.
It's not over.
This battle got won, but be careful because right behind you could be another instant battle, and you have to be prepared for that. And that is knowing that you are protected by God is an amazing thing. I mean, as we're gearing up to go into battle for several things, knowing that God is saying, I'm going in front of you.
How yes, we awesome talked about the that? Armor and the place when you put that on. And I love that because I pray that prayer every morning. I dress my armor myself with that. And that meant a lot when you said it's little things you just don't catch. I'm in front of you. That's right. What God's telling you. I'm taking the hits, man.
Yep.
I am going. So know this and fear not.
Yeah.
And step out there.
And just be bold, you know?
Amen. So shall we jump in?
Yes, we're on page 152, and she's just gone to get the money yes. out of the safe.
Page 152, guys. I'm halfway down by second paragraph from the bottom.
So you're going to the collection, you showed her all these pictures. Now you told her how much that she needs to get. She gets up and she goes into the bedroom
to get the safe.
And she gets the safe.
Gets into the safe.
And she hands you the money.
And she's cursing her husband at this time. I could hear her mumble as she opened the safe. She then came up with a bundle, stacks marked 1,000 on each. I took them, counted them, $7,000. I was satisfied. She then went ahead of me back to the living room to where we were originally. She proceeded to drink more wine. Thank you, Miss Beckham, I graciously said. I feel bad for what he did to you, I said sincerely. Never in the past had I sympathized with the debt. But in this case, I knew she would pay. I'm not sure how I knew, except that everything about her and around her seemed to be good. I picked up the photos, put them in the package, and headed toward the door. Don't leave, she said abruptly. I stopped with my back to her. She then asked, don't I get like some kind of receipt? She asked. It almost sounded comical. I turned and walked to her and handed her the photos. I didn't have a problem with that, because I had them privately developed and no fingerprints, so nothing traceable. "Would you like a drink?" she asked as she took the photos. "No, ma'am," I asked. "So what am I supposed to do now?" she asked while finishing off her glass of wine. "Julie," I said, "you are not him. Don't be him. It will get you nowhere." She just stared at me, and I will truly say I fell for her. I have done so many of these types of collections. I remember she had a lot of encouraging scripture stuff around, like pictures on the wall and little placards. "Do you believe in all this prayer stuff that you have around here?" I asked her. "I want to," she sighed. "Who knows?" she laughed. "Maybe you are the answer to some of my prayers," she said with a smile. "How so?" I asked. She stood quiet. "How much to have his butt kicked?" she blurted out. "Well, I haven't had that request yet," I said quiet. Took a deep breath with everything in me wanting to fulfill her request. "Sleep on it," I answered. "You will know what to do. I'll be in touch. Good luck, Julie," I said as I walked out. I immediately called Pops and explained what had happened. He gave me the answer that I already knew. "We are not in the contract for hire business. This domestic stuff will get you set up. Stay focused," he said, and left it at that. So I did, and he was right. A week later, I decided to drive by her residence. I have never done that before. I guess you could say I wanted to see if anything had changed. Sure enough, she was having an estate sale. I mean, she had a sign in front of the house saying "Everything estate sale, everything goes for a dollar." His boat, ATVs, guns, furniture, everything. I just sat and observed for a while. Good for her.
So she basically said, "I have a better way of getting him back. He loves his toys. I'm going to sell everything for a buck."
She punched him right in the pocketbook.
Wow. So that that could have gone a totally different way. And after the break, we'll get into the next part of this chapter. But I think she knew exactly where to hit him.
When we get back, I got to look up some scripture on this one. Something came to mind.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
You're listening to From the Bullet to the Bible. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-5700. That's 936-337-5700.
Come and get it. Davy Crockett's Grill is now serving breakfast. Come sink your teeth into a mouth-watering chicken fried steak, two eggs, hash browns, and toast for only $7.75. Or if you're hankering for hotcakes, get two pancakes, two eggs, and your choice of bacon, ham, or sausage for only $6.75. Want some biscuits and gravy? Well, we got that too. Davy Crockett's Grill is located on the corner of Loop 304 and Highway 7 in the city of Crockett. With our new breakfast menu served Wednesday through Saturday from 7 a.m. till 10:30 a.m. Be sure to like us on Facebook to get our latest updates and more amazing deals. Order ahead by calling 936-243-6005. That's 936-243-6005. Davy Crockett's Grill. Comfort you can taste.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy. Feel the joy.
You're listening to From the Bullet to the Bible. Now, here's your host, Tim Lowry.
Woohoo, Tim!
Yes! From the Bullet to the Bible. So, right before the break, you were talking about an angry woman, and you were going to look at some scripture. So, I have a couple of scriptures that...
Shout those out, man.
This is I love it because they're in Proverbs. Proverbs, so much wisdom in Proverbs. You can just go through each one of these. But Proverbs 21, verse 9 says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." Mm. That's huge.
Oh.
Proverbs 21:19 says, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman."
That says a lot.
That's that says a lot.
I've ran into some tough guys before, but I've also seen some angry women.
Yes.
Had some women angry at me, and it's just not a good place to be.
Yes. And you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, when you go there, and there's other proverbs too, and that talk about that, but, you know, it is wise to stay clear, of an angry woman. And, you know, apparently, she had gotten so angry, your debt, when you collected that debt, that,
she wanted to hire me to go get her husband.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done stuff like that. Pops was right. We were organized, and you don't start getting into domestic and whatever. But the sad thing about this was I remember that woman very well, and I remember her house. And I saw all the scriptures that she had. I mean, she had one of my favorites of all time, Footprints in the Sand, The Lord is My Shepherd, I Shall Not Want. The house wasn't filled with somebody you would think would be out. Honey, I had to work late tonight. Honey, I'm right. Not going to be home. I got a trip to take. You wouldn't think looking at, though I didn't live in that house, but just looking at her, and I felt it, that this was going on in their home, that this man was hooked on drugs, hooked on lustful things, and he just threw away, I don't know how long they were married, their marriage. I mean, now everything good he could possibly have for a few minutes of whatever on the street.
Well, it's interesting because you sensed that, and this is something that you observe, and when you're observing them and you're taking the pictures, you're following them, you're tracking them for several weeks at a time before you even present or approach them. But out of that, something said, this person is good.
You know, and I got to say, that's the Holy Spirit, maybe on her side.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be the one to say God can't talk to anybody, whether I'm a sinner or not, or God's God and he does what he wants. He makes the rules. But I don't even know if I should say this. I did pray before I went in there to ask that I could collect properly.
Right. Exactly. And Randall Reeves would be going, what are you talking about? Pastor's like, Pastor Randall, when you first talked about how the mafia does that, it was like unfathomable.
I remember his eyes looking at me.
He was like,
did you just say that?
Yeah. If you've ever seen The Mask, you know, when Jim Carrey's eyes go, you know, that was him. And because it's, you know, that thinking is designing God to be who you want it to be and not who God really is. And that's something that so many of us that aren't in organized crime, we are subject to doing that too in everyday life.
If I think about it, I think people do. It's in a way you try to justify what you're doing, and you're manipulating yourself and others by using God to do that.
Yeah. As a way of either getting into doing something that you want or an excuse to get out of something you don't want to do. And you're
I'm sure
so
God
easy
was
to do that.
Scratching his head at the time those prayers came in. What?
It's like, what was that? So that was, but my point was that you saw something different and you called her on it. You could have gone a totally different way in that. When she started throwing herself at you, you could have said, all right, this will be a way to get even with this guy, or yeah, sure, I'll take a hit out on this guy. I'll go beat him up for you. You know, you didn't. You told her, don't be like him. Don't stoop to that level, because you knew that was going to destroy her, and you had already seen that she had this goodness about her, mm-hmm. which at the time, you may not have known it. She may not have known it, but, you know, there was a temptation there. And if she was saved, if she was a believer, and because she had all that stuff on the walls, there was a moment of weakness there.
And that comes. That happens to the best of Christians.
Yeah.
Especially when you're hurt. See, she hadn't. I could see it when I laid the pictures down. Yeah. She knew that he was doing something. I mean, your partners know.
Yeah, but they don't have the proof. But
no.
When you laid the proof down, it was
graphic, visual,
and that that assumption or that I'm almost sure that he's doing something turned into, I absolutely know he's doing something now. And it went to
disgust,
anger to rage.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that happen. And that's the discipline in organized crime. We trained well. These things were going to happen. I was told, I witnessed many times, these things are going to happen. And all these areas are going to be tempted to you. It's so hard to explain sometimes because an organized criminal's life is a lot like a strong Christian's life when it comes to self-discipline, except we're disciplining ourselves in the evil way. You know, but I will say this, I wish churches were as tough as some of the mafia guys I knew.
Yeah.
I wish that order of discipline and respect and chasing down people was as strong as the oath that we took.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is the devil loves to counterfeit. Mm-hmm. And he can counterfeit all of those things so that it feels like, it almost feels like it's the right thing to do.
It absolutely felt that way.
And so that's the deception that he has. But once you actually know God, know Christ, have him in your heart and have the Holy Spirit in your heart, it is a night and day difference. You know what is really the truth. You know what is really right. You know what is really pure. And all of those schemes of the devil, it looks like trash, and you can easily see it.
I was almost like her when I came to know Christ. I turned and I thought, wow, you did this on a cross for me.
Yeah.
And I've been getting it wrong the whole time. And I took everything that I was doing and giving the world, and I said, you know what, I'm going to give it to you. And I went in reverse, this time on the right side of the fence. And man, I've had blessing after blessing after blessing. And that word faithful, I was listening to the MP that Sergeant Barnett had sent me in the mail. I was listening to all day. And one of the powerful words that this person who's speaking on these tapes talks about is God's faithfulness. Faithfulness. Do you really know what that means? And God is faithful. There is no one walking around on this planet that is as faithful as God. You can't beat God. What he says is what he says. What you are, when he says you are, and you accept that, you are
it's amazing.
A creation of God.
Yeah.
Now the avenues and the tools and the testimonies and the things you've got to go out and do and the lives that you can redirect back to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, all of that comes into play. And you get to rock and roll with God when you know who God is and know one thing, he is faithful. And when you've sinned, guess what? You know your God and you gave him up to Christ when he died on that cross. You are forgiven. You don't have to beg for that. You don't have to fight for that. You don't have to cry for that. Nothing. It's done. And God says, bam, like that. Now you can work for me. And I will work all things out for your good. I'll take all that turmoil and all that dirt and all that crap and all those collections and all those people you hurt, all of those things, I'm going to flip them around and you're going to do my work.
It reminds me of the story of Paul. You know, but Paul wasn't organized crime. He was organized religion, where he was going out and killing people in thinking it was in God's name. He was going after the Christians, saying that, you know what, you're blasphemy. You're preaching in this name of Jesus, this Christ, this guy that is claiming to be the Son of God. That's blasphemy. And I will take you down. I have this zealous...
God gave me the assignment or something.
Yeah. I have this zealous, burning passion to serve God. I'm going to do this. And he used every aspect that he could of his job to hunt them down, to track them down, and to have them stoned and killed and incarcerated and all of these crazy things. And yet when God got a hold of him and said, you know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he realizes that oh my goodness, this is the Messiah.
I've been doing the wrong thing.
And when God brought him to that moment, everything that he had ever done for the world or what he thought was religious or for God, he got on the right path. And look at what Paul did after that. So amazing.
He wrote the rest of the Bible. Well,
he wrote many, many books after that. And he went on to do miraculous things happened to him. I mean, you know, being shipwrecked, being bit by a poisonous viper and not dying, and you know, being in prison, being able to write all of these things, these letters to the churches that we now know in the New Testament. Just amazing, amazing things. And just think what God has in store for you. You may think that you have messed up so bad. You can't mess up too bad. The only thing that you could do that could mess up too bad would be not to accept Christ, not to surrender your life. That's the only mistake that you could make that's irreversible. All these other things, everything else, God can change.
There's nothing too hard for God.
Yeah. But if you don't accept the gift of his salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, then that will be the worst mistake you can do for eternity. Not just for your life, but for eternity.
Amen. I'm hoping to get out to speak to... word has it I'll be in prisons very soon, and as those doors open, I have some great, great booklets that just introduce Christ. Because Tim, that's how it had to happen for me. Yeah. When I got out, and
it's like, who is this guy? I need to know everything about Christ. Who is this Jesus guy that everybody is following and everybody is saying you have to surrender your life to?
And the same thing that I did with my collections and going after, I went after him. And I just beg you, men and women out there incarcerated, you're inside right now, get all the information you can on Jesus Christ. Know who he is, and know that there's freedom, even in bondage, there's freedom for you there.
And I think the important thing too is while you're doing that research, don't just do it for head knowledge. As you're going through it, cry out to God and say, God, reveal to me who Jesus is.
I'll say it just like that.
Reveal to me who he is. And then he will do that. And he'll show it to you in a way that only you will understand, because he created only one of you. God created you so unique. He's got some amazing things planned for you. And you may think that just because you're incarcerated now that your life is over. No, this is just a phase. This is just a moment. It's what you choose to do in this moment. Are you going to sit back? Are you going to be sorry for yourself? Or are you going to say, you know what, Lord, I want to change. I want to go your way. I want to surrender my life to you because I'm tired of trying to do things in my own strength. And get right with God. And getting right with God, he will restore. He will show up, I guarantee.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do it alone. I got news for you. It ain't going to work alone. You cannot go on your own strength and fight this battle. You've got no business fighting the devil, period. That's God's job. Let him have that job and learn to live in love and peace, man. There's so much to this Christian life that's wonderfully and so beautifully waiting for you out there.
Wow, this hour has just flown by. We got one more segment. We'll be back after this commercial. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to From the Bullet to the Bible. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-5700. That's 936-337-5700.
Come and get it. Davy Crockett's Grill is now serving breakfast.
Come sink your teeth into a mouth-watering chicken fried steak, two eggs, hash browns, and toast for only $7.75. Or if you're hankering for hotcakes, get two pancakes, two eggs, and your choice of bacon, ham, or sausage for only $6.75. Want some biscuits and gravy? Well, we got that too. Davy Crockett's Grill is located on the corner of Loop 304 and Highway 7 in the city of Crockett. With our new breakfast menu served Wednesday through Saturday from 7 a.m. till 10:30 a.m. Be sure to like us on Facebook to get our latest updates and more amazing deals. Order ahead by calling 936-243-6005. That's 936-243-6005. Davy Crockett's Grill. Comfort you can taste.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy.
You're listening to From the Bullet to the Bible. Now, here's your host, Tim Lowry.
Well, welcome back. We are just grateful to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. And I hope you guys are staying cool. I am just grateful that we are indoors in air conditioning right now. You know, sometimes I take for granted when I'm driving in my air-conditioned car and I see somebody walking down the side of the road that's got to go to work, and they're in their uniform, and they're just walking, and you just blow by them. You don't even realize, wait, they're walking to work because they don't have a car. And it's hot outside. And I started thinking about it. I said, you know, we're going to start doing something here at the radio station when we get a chance. I'm going to start putting a cold cooler in the back of the Joy FM car. And if we see somebody going, we're going to stop. We're going to pick them up. We're going to give them a joy ride. Give them a cold bottle of water. If they don't want the ride, we'll give them a cold bottle of water. You know, but just to say, you know what? We see you. And
yes.
Give us an opportunity to pray with you and just celebrate the fact that, you know, whatever it takes, you're going to work. You know, you're not letting not having a car keep you from working. And we love to encourage people like that. And you know what? You don't have to be in a car that says 104.3 Joy FM on the side of it to go do that.
No.
You know, you can set that aside in these hot months and say, use that as a time for testimony. And be smart. I mean, make sure you got, you know, at least two people in your car, and as you're picking these strangers up, or giving them the bottles that you can engage with. But, you know, just be smart about it and always pray. Say, Lord, here's somebody in need. What would you like me to do? And just be his hands and feet. That's what we're supposed to do.
Hands and feet.
Like so that. We got some birthday shout outs.
We got a friend of the show's and a friend of my ministry, Miss Peters. Judy Peters, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Judy.
And my other buddy, she's always on fire, Miss Lisa Lewis, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You know, let's do that occasionally. If you feel like us wanting to recognize your birthday, I like birthdays. Let us know.
You're having a birthday, too.
Yeah, coming up Monday. June 21st. Monday.
And you love gifts, and gifts can be sent to P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. The ones with little faces of presidents on it are really cool.
Oh, you know, I love those.
Yes. Those are the best gifts. Those are...
But I'm the real folks. Yes, thank you. I love that.
No, we're just playing, but we appreciate it. You can send cards. We'd love to send Philip some happy birthday cards.
And donate to the ministry. We're always, man, it's going to be an exciting year. We want to be able to go mobile with the station. We want to be able to do many things that if the Lord will open those doors for us. I know we're looking at a tour, where it starts and where it goes in 22. I have no idea. But, man, your donations are helpful to help us get to places that we normally can't go. It's always a blessing. We could always use your help out here. So they can send that here to the station?
Yep. They can actually go onto the website, 1043joyfm.com, and just click on the donate button on the top of the screen. And that's a tax-deductible donation that they can receive.
Awesome. That's what we need. And if you'd like to purchase the book, I've had a lot of fun with this book. It's gone. It's opened some amazing doors, and it's got.
I'm surprised, but I'm not about how many places we're finding out where it's showing.
It is, and I do get the calls, man. I get the messages on probably social media that say, "Hey Phil, you misspelled this word, or it's bad grammar here," and I'm like, you know what? I was kind of bummed for a little bit, and I thought, you know, then you just didn't get the testimony,
right? If you're tripped up over the word, you missed the testimony. But there are some people that, and that's why I have an editor for when we do books, because I'll do the same thing. I'll put the wrong word or something. There's some people that it just drives them crazy. They can't get past the sentence.
I've heard from them people.
Yeah, exactly. They can't get past the sentence. You're like, move on.
I met a young girl. I can't remember her name. But I met her this weekend on one of my journeys out there in Austin. And I got to tell you, she was 17. You could tell she was on her way to college, had a vocabulary that just blew me away. And she was doing a thesis on the mafia. And she knew more about the mob than I did.
Wow.
I mean, dates, this, that. But I was able to help correct her in some areas, and she like flew through the book. And it was nice to have her comments that says, you catch the it's got bad grammar. She goes, no, I loved it because I felt like I'm human.
You're in the moment. Yeah.
Oh, and I thought, wow, that was cool. And she goes, I don't care about that. Did you really do this? Tell me about this part. And it turned into a God moment.
You just got to share your testimony. Yeah. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing. And I think the people that actually, when you go through it, you know, the book is, there are some tough areas. I mean, it's like, wow, these are very vivid. But, you know, I'm excited about the next book too.
Sanctified.
That's coming out. So that is going to be exciting because we get to get caught up with everything from where this book leads off and fill in from there until now.
I like that in my walk with the Lord. That's the real story, man. That's it. So thank you guys for tuning in.
And we look forward to seeing you next week as we finish this chapter. Don't go away. We are grateful that you're with us. And shout out to all those people overseas listening too. We love you.
Amen. Jesus loves you.
You've been listening to From the Bullet to the Bible with Philip Hall and Tim Lowry. This program is a ministry of From the Bullet to the Bible Ministries. We would love to hear from you. You can mail your questions and comments to From the Bullet to the Bible, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. That's From the Bullet to the Bible, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835.